Now, it's National Sewing Month. A lot of things have happened in recent years to make sewing fall out of fashion, at least for some people. The home economic programs, a lot of them were cut in schools. Full-time work for both halves of a couple didn't leave a lot of time to make our own clothing. And these days, it's pretty easy and cheap to buy clothes brand new. But the last 10 years or so, I've seen a comeback to the sewing world that seems to be driven in part by younger people. And the pandemic is driving a lot of interest this year. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you like to sew in any capacity? Why do you do it? When did you start? Tell us about a project you've done or are doing right now. And has the pandemic led you to get into sewing for the first time or maybe back into it now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Belinda Banicki is the interim program director for the fashion and retail program at UW Stout. She's also an experienced sewist. Belinda, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And Diane Dine has designed and written many sewing-related books, patterns, and articles for Nancy's Notions and worked closely with the Sewing with Nancy team. She's taught sewing, owned and operated her own fabric store, and worked in the sewing industry for decades. Diane, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I want to hear both your origin stories, Diane, and let's start with you. When did you first start sewing?
Well, I started sewing in 4-H when I was about 10 years old, and the creativity that it nurtured gave, and the ability to create clothing that was unique and well-made is kind of what, you know, attracted me to that. I also got my Bachelor of Science degree in consumer ed at, or consumer science rather, at Stevens Point, UW Stevens Point. And the pattern design and fashion classes, textiles, tailoring, clothing workshops furthered my interest in it. So I was very happy when I was able to use my college education in doing something I loved as I taught consumer science at the high school level, and I had my own store. And I also worked with Nancy Zeman, as you mentioned, doing workshops and lectures around the United States.
And Belinda, how did you first, Belinda, how did you first get into sewing?
Yeah, I started when I was super young. I really wanted to make clothing for my dolls. So my mom taught me how to sew when I was like 5. And yeah, I just kind of kept doing it. I really enjoyed it. It's a really great way to be able to kind of physically see something that's in your mind, and it's a fun pastime.
Diane, are you seeing maybe more people either get into sewing or back into sewing over the last few years, and especially in this pandemic year of 2020?
I definitely have seen an increase in sewing during the pandemic. I think the demand for sewing machines and sewing supplies has really been a lot, because, you know, people that are wanting to sew for this, I think they have more time to sew, and maybe others want to fix clothing that they have to save money.
And Belinda, Diane mentioned the creativity of sewing as something that appealed to her from the start. Talk about sewing as a creative outlet for people who may not think of it that way.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's such an easy way to start. So you really, you know, you can sew by hand. You don't need to have a machine. So it's something you can learn really easily. And then it's just so fun to be able to, you know, kind of think of an idea and then just be able to make it. I think, you know, you can also start from clothes that already exist and then add to them. So it's just like a really creative way to, you know, kind of be an individual and add things to your clothes. And, you know, I think a lot of, especially younger people, really kind of resonate with that and spend a lot of time doing it.
All right, Diane, here's a challenge for you, me. Since I was in elementary school, I have this magical thing where anything with scissors or drawing or cutting or anything like that, my fingers magically turn into thumbs. I can't do these things. Would there be hope for someone even as inept as me to learn how to sew and be able to do it and come out with something from it?
I think there would. I think you might have to have someone else cut out your patterns, but but I think you should be able to sew. A lot of the machines just about sew themselves these days. And I think that one of the things, just going back to what she mentioned as far as you know, liking to make your own things, as far as Belinda mentioned. There's so much popularity now with the vintage and the thrift store clothing that I think that that's another thing that's brought people back to sewing clothing, because you can change, if you love the fabric of something, you can change the style features, or you can make it truly one of a kind by changing some of the techniques on the clothing.
And in doing some of those things, Belinda, do you see younger people taking interest in doing some of those projects, either making their own clothing or, as Diane was saying, taking that vintage stuff and making it fit?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I work with college students, and, you know, that generation specifically cares so much about like sustainability and reusing things and trying to reduce waste and things like that. And so I think that has been a big driver in like them wanting to sew more, because, you know, if a button falls off, they don't just have to get rid of it. They can sew it back on themselves, or, you know, they can buy something that has a hole in it and they can fix it instead of having to throw it away. So I think that's been like a huge thing specifically in that generation that has made them want to sew more.
Got two sewing experts with us for National Sewing Month, and a rise in interest in making and or fixing our own clothing and other material projects. Diane Dine is with us, worked a long time with the Sewing with Nancy team. She's been teaching this and judging it and everything, really. And Belinda Banicki from the Fashion Retail Program at UW-Stout. And with you, if you'd like, at 800-642-1234, call up with your sewing experiences and or questions. Let's go to your calls now. Lynn is with us in Stevens Point. Lynn, hi.
Hi. I'm calling from Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and I've been sewing since I was about 4 years old. I learned on a treadle that eventually became converted into a kick wheel for making pottery. And I just, this past winter, my sweetheart revived his mother's sewing machine. She had 7 kids that she sewed all their clothes, and he learned how to sew this winter. So he's excited about that. I mean, I'm proud of him for picking, because he couldn't even sew a button.
Oh, that's good news for me, Lynn. Are you working on projects together, or are you kind of just helping him along?
No, he's kind of slacked off now because he's pretty busy at work, but okay. I'm retired. So I'm just doing some mending, but I used to make a living doing, I'd worked in sweatshops, but then I moved on to doing custom work and more creative endeavors. So artists, because I'm a fiber artist as well. So it's just like this gal was just talking about repurposing. It's so nice to see the young kids that are getting into it, you know, and just it's such a meditate, you know, if you're not in a sweatshop situation, but in, you know, it's a meditation. It's just, you know, you're putting your thoughts on, it's like drawing. You're drawing with fabric.
Fantastic, Lynn. Thank you so much for sharing that. Well, Diane, for somebody like Lynn's sweetheart getting into it for the first time, if somebody out there is thinking they want to go from not sewing to sewing, how do you suggest they get started?
Well, I think the first thing is to make sure that you've got a machine that's running properly and that you read the manual and know how to use it. I think that's step number one. And then start with something simple to sew that doesn't involve any fitting. And I think just relax and have fun. I probably wouldn't have said this many years ago, but things don't have to be sewn perfectly, especially when you're sewing with young children, as I found out. Have good quality sewing supplies and use good quality fabric. I guess those are points that I would say are the best things for getting started.
And that's with a machine, Belinda. What if we wanted to work on some hand sewing as our first project, or is that a bad idea? I don't know.
I mean, I think it depends what you're doing and how good you want it to be. I mean, Diane's right. You know, having a really good machine is definitely your best bet. But there's so many resources out there, you know, online, and you can just, depending on what you want to do, you can find good resources for how to do it. So I just feel like if you want to do it, do it. You'll never know if you're good at it until you try it.
Thanks a lot for that call, Lynn. We've got two guests with us now to talk about a growing interest in sewing. during National Sewing Month. Belinda Banicki is the interim program director for the fashion and retail program at UW-Stout. Diane Dine has taught sewing for decades, still continues to do that on a freelance basis. A lot of experience in sewing on the air with us right now. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you sew? If so, what got you into it and why do you do it? Tell us about your best ever project. Or are you just getting into it and you need some advice from the pros? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation here from more of you coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about a growing interest in sewing, especially during the pandemic. Two experienced sewing experts are with us, Belinda Banicki from UW-Stout, Diane Dine, longtime current sewing instructor, judge, fabric store owner, and much, much more. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your sewing experiences and your questions along the way. Let's go back to your calls now. Gail is with us in Superior. Gail, hello.
Hello. I think it's fabulous that everyone learns to sew, girls and boys, whatever. I'm from a family of, there was 10 kids in my family, and if I didn't learn to sew when I was in 4-H, when I was like in middle school, I didn't have things to wear. When I got married, I made my own wedding dress, attendance dresses, mother's dresses. I've moved on from there. I've done some quilts, pillowcases, you name it. Right now with the pandemic, I have made over 200 face masks that I just give away to family and stuff. But I'm also on the school board in my area, and I wish more kids would be doing this and have more summer programs that kids could learn to sew. And it's just something that gives me pleasure and an accomplishment. And I'm thankful I started back when I was in 4-H.
Gail, thanks a lot for that call. And Diane, would you like to see more exposure to sewing at early ages, whether from parents or in home ec classes or as you did in 4-H?
Definitely. I have a 3-year-old granddaughter, and well, actually she's older than that now. She started sewing when she was 3, but she's 5 now, and I have one that is 9 and one that is 8, and they all, 3 of them sew, and they just really love it. So I think that it's good to expose them, you know, at a young age, and you know, they make projects that they're proud of, and it makes them feel good. It makes me feel good for teaching them. And I think it's a win-win.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Will with us now in Platteville. Will, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I picked up sewing again for the first time in 25 years to help finish up some masks. But a lot of my friends have sewn for a long time, back in high school with Renaissance fairs. And more recently, I was an anime nerd, and many of my friends would do cosplay. And so many of them would make their own costumes or accessories, steampunk type stuff. And now I even see some of my students do it in classes.
Will, fantastic. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us. Belinda, do you see that? People interested in making costumes, whether it's for Renaissance fairs, cosplay, where people dress in costumes, or maybe it's almost October, maybe with Halloween in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a lot of students who come in and their, you know, kind of end career goal would be costume design, or, you know, they'll show us their portfolio and it's all filled with costumes and things like that. It's definitely a much more popular market than I would have expected. But like you said, I mean, for Halloween, you know, you can make your own costumes, which is always really popular. Again, you know, taking stuff that's from thrift stores and then kind of altering it to make your own costume. It's definitely a really, really popular thing, especially in the college age.
Will, thanks a lot for sharing that with us at 800-642-1234. We're talking about a renewed interest in sewing. It's National Sewing Month right now. Two experts with us, Belinda Banicki and Diane Dine. Still time for your questions and experiences at 800-642-1234. We heard from Bruce in Bayfield who called in to say, I have a sewing machine that was given to my parents at least 60 years ago. Where does one go to have a sewing machine checkup to get it in working order? Where would you point him toward, Diane?
Well, I would have him check, you know, local places that sell sewing machines, because many times they have someone there that fixes machines as well. Or look in your Yellow Pages or your Google it. You know, you can find a lot by Googling, and I think, you know, I found fabric stores and, you know, different for sewing machine parts and everything online. So, you know, you can definitely find them online or, you know, a lot of different avenues like that. But I would start with a reputable dealer.
And as I understand it, Belinda, Bruce should also have some patience. I understand during the pandemic, there are some pretty long waiting lists to get that old machine repaired. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have heard that too. I've had students who were trying to get machines for school that just started last week, and they're still kind of sold out everywhere. And, you know, I think everyone's at home. It's like a fun pastime to do. So, yeah, there's definitely a big backlog of machines at this point.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Samantha is with us in Whitehall. Samantha, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. When my grandma was alive, my dad's mom, we used to make quilts and how to put buttons on clothes and patches on pants and stuff. And I think that kids today need more of learning how to do that kind of stuff, because if you get a rip in your jeans and they're still good, you should be able to figure out how to put a patch on it and wear them. So that's
Samantha,
my fondest memory.
And Samantha, are you still using these skills today?
Yes, I am. I live in a little apartment, so I don't have a sewing machine, but I do, you know, find myself putting a button on if a button falls off, or, you know, mending stuff, you know, just hand. But, yes.
Samantha, thanks a lot for calling on. I'm calling in. I'm looking down at my shirt here where I just lost a second button. I can't really wear it in public till I do something about that. Thanks a lot for that call, Samantha, and for sharing that. What would you say to someone, Diane, who maybe had those early lessons as a kid or used to do it and wants to get back into it? Easy as getting back on that bike?
Yes, I think so. You know, it's some of the techniques might have changed, but yeah, I think that if they pick up their machine, they look in their manual, and you know, I think that they could start very easily.
Something. Thanks a lot again for calling in, Samantha. Something I wanted to ask both of you about. Let's start with you, Belinda. Do you feel like there's a community of people who sew, whether it's the subgroups of quilters or costume makers or what have you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, kind of what you just said, you know, quilting is such a big thing. There's quilting groups and things like that. I mean, I think, you know, anytime you find something that you love doing, like, you want to talk about it with people. So, you know, I think especially with like creating and sewing, and, you know, there's always new techniques and new things you can do. And so being able to have like a community and a group of people who are into the same thing, it just helps you get better at it, because they can kind of, you know, teach you what they know and you can teach them what you know. And plus, it, you know, it's fun to be proud of the things that you make and to kind of show them off and be around people who appreciate it.
And Diane, having been involved with the Sewing with Nancy team and owned a store, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess you've got some long-term friends you've made in the sewing community.
Oh, definitely. You know, and, you know, Nancy's Notions is not open anymore, but some of them have, you know, are still doing Nancy's patterns, and, you know, she still has a website and whatever. So yes, I still am connected with them.
Fantastic. Well, just in our last couple minutes or so, tell me a good starter project, assuming we can get our hands on a good sewing machine and have it working. Diane, where would I start?
Well, you know, it depends on the interest level. With my grandkids, they loved sewing on fleece. they made hats and scarves and things for their 18-inch dolls. And those were all fun for them. Some people might enjoy making pillows. Those are very easy to make. Embroidery or quilting, if you have an embroidery machine, the kids seem to like that too. Although one of my older granddaughters said, you know, she was bored with embroidery because she said she didn't want to just sit and watch the machine do all the work. So while she would get the embroidery started, and then I would take her to the regular machine and she would, you know, do some other sewing. So I think there's something for everyone. But the pillows, pillowcases, some of the purse patterns are very easy, aprons, hats, scarves, that type of thing, or quilting.
All right. Well, and Belinda, give us a quick next step project before we let you go.
Yeah, I mean, she, you know, kind of covered some of the really good ones. I would say anything that has like a lot of straight lines, you know, is easy to follow. You don't have to do a lot of curves, things like that. That's where you start.
Well, it's been a lot of fun. Belinda, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And Diane, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We've been talking to Diane Dine. She's designed and written many sewing-related books, patterns, and articles for Nancy's Notions and worked closely with the Sewing with Nancy team. She has taught sewing, owned and operated her own fabric store, and worked in the sewing industry for decades. Also with us, Belinda Banicki, interim program director for the fashion and retail program at UW-Stout. A longtime sewist herself. We talked about the rise in popularity of sewing in the last decade in honor of September being National Sewing Month.